Be seated, please. About to tell you something you already know. There are numerous frustrations and inconveniences associated with growing old. I'm speaking from experience here, and I will not go into detail about illnesses, losses, and other characteristics of this time of life. But there is one in particular. In the absence of some crisis or other dire situation, that I find most frustrating and troublesome on a day-to-day basis. Hearing loss. And as much as I might feel that someone else is mumbling or a restaurant is simply too noisy, I know in my heart it's not them, it's me. Although I do think I could teach filmmakers, specifically British filmmakers, a thing or two about background music staying in the background. When I was young, my hearing was really acute, good enough that people around me would comment on it. You heard that? But I squandered that gift. And I mean that not only in the sense of so many of my generation listening to rock and roll with the volume at ridiculously high levels in the car, in concerts, and so on, but also squandered it in the sense of taking it for granted, assuming that I could hear the tail end of people's sentences without paying too much attention. Now we begin to move. I preached a sermon with these two qualities in the first parish where I served as curate, and there was a man there who was a professor at Northwestern University in the hearing laboratory, and he sort of straightened me out on these terms, which I've since forgotten. So just, we're moving now from hearing to listening. Years ago, I read a magazine article about human verbal communication. It spoke to that inattention that I just mentioned, which sadly to say is still part of my interactions with others. Inattention to what the other person is saying. It was a shocking statistic in that article about how much of our time in conversation, notice how I shifted from I to we in that, we merely waiting for an opening to make our own point. It's going to be over soon, and now I can say what I need to say. Assuming that we've heard enough, and this is related to that, but not necessarily exactly the same. Assuming that we've heard enough to formulate our own witty, pithy, incisive response. That's the kind of squandering of hearing and listening to which I allude. Maybe it was all the foregoing which set me up to be struck by one sentence in today's readings beyond all others. It caught my eye and my mind's ear because I heard it with force. And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." It struck me that listening might be a key to all these readings. Of course, Samuel uttered that line only after three previous attempts by the Lord to get his attention. And not only his, but his mentors. Eli didn't get it either until the third of those encounters. Then it strikes the old and failing prophet. The boy's not hallucinating. I'm not talking in my sleep. This is the Lord calling him, just as many years ago the Lord called me. despite his spotty history. I'll go into this a bit. Today's Old Testament lesson came with an optional addition at the end. We have verses 1 through 10. And I loved stopping on that line, "Speak, for your servant is listening." But the rest of it goes on. As Karen said, "I wonder what happened after that." I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, it's right there in the lectionary if I'd chosen to include it." Samuel listens to the Lord, who says, "Eli's time is up. His sons have been a disgrace. He hasn't done anything to make that any better. And it's your time to take up the mantle of prophet. Now, go tell Eli." That's the rest of this. And you might expect what happened to have happened. Samuel said, "I'd rather not." And so he went and stood in front of Eli, kind of made a circle with his toe in the sand and hemmed and hawed. And Eli said, "What's up? What's going on?" He said, "Well, I don't want to tell you." And he said, "If you don't tell me whatever it is that you have to tell me that's bad news, may that and many times worse happen to you." So Samuel said, "Well, you're no longer the prophet, and I am." And Eli said, "Good for you, and continue to listen to the Lord and speak the Lord's word to others." So, despite that spotty history and his sons' histories, Eli still had some of his old prophetic gifts. He was able to hear, to listen to what Samuel had to say to him, given him by the Lord. And Samuel's long ministry as a prophet of Israel began by listening. Another striking aspect of this reading, this Old Testament reading, is the Lord's patience with both Eli and Samuel. Patience with their limitations and doubts and fears and misapprehensions and confusion. Especially Samuel's fear of telling Eli some unpleasant news. Samuel might have thought to himself at this point, "Maybe I didn't hear that correctly," or, "I wish I hadn't been listening so closely." But we see how it turns out. The psalmist declares the truth that Eli has remembered, even at his advanced age. "Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You know my journeys and my resting places." Cast in other terms, the line might be, "God, you have seen me and heard me. You know all there is to know about me." Well, just as the Lord searched out Samuel, his prophet, just as God seeks out each one of us, knowing us in our depths, knowing us better than we know ourselves. In today's gospel, we see Jesus acting as one who recalls those stories that would have been familiar to him, that story about Samuel and the psalm that we just read together. Remembering all of this as he calls his first apostles. These stories of call and response, of listening for the voice of God, of knowing that we are known, they're stories of all of us. We who move through our lives, sometimes deaf to God's voice, sometimes needing the help of a mentor or a friend or guide, or a totally unexpected voice, such as that of a stranger in a meeting or someone you bump into at HEB. God's voice is all around us and within us if we would only listen. In today's collect, we pray about Jesus being the light of the world, about our being illumined by that light, and then bearing that light, radiating with that divine light. It's a metaphor from another sense, the sense of sight. But it is equally true to say that Christ has heard us, knows us by name, and speaks to us largely through each other. May we accept God's grace that comes in these ways, regardless of our difficulty in seeing and hearing, and that we see and hear that grace in our hearts. May we thus, lit up by the love of God, help to make the world a place that shines with that love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.